For our drive-in Sunday morning church service, it's good to see the parking lot full and still filling up. See cars still coming in, so it's good to see each and every one that is coming this morning. Trust you've come with your hearts and minds set on serving the Lord this morning. Now, whether we're in the building, whether we're out here, our goal and our purpose of being here is to worship the Lord, just to set our hearts and minds upon Him and to uplift and to glorify His wonderful, marvelous name. We will just ask you this morning to be sure that you stay in your vehicles as much as possible. If you have to go to the restroom, the hall is open. You can go to the restroom there. We did have a visit from the state police last Sunday morning, as somebody reported us, but when they got here, everything was in order. Everyone was in their cars and doing what they were supposed to be doing. So if you'll do that this morning, you'll help us to be able to continue doing this without any issues and any kind of harassment or anything from the outside. We do want to let's open in a word of prayer real quick. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege that you've granted unto us to be able to come out and worship your name this morning, Father. As we lift up your name in song, as we call upon you in prayer, and as we look into your word, Father, we just ask you to be in our midst, stir our hearts, and do a work, Lord, that only you can do in our lives. And we'll thank you, Father, for what we know you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. I believe Brother Jim has a couple of congregational songs, so just follow along. They're familiar hymns. Sing. Just because you're in your car and no one can hear you, that's the time to really sing out. Amen. So just let it rip this morning as you worship the Lord. Go ahead, Brother Jim.
Page 184. Revive us again.
Having just a little bit of difficulties with our sound for our video recording. But while they're working that out, we're going to go ahead and do our prayer request and just ask you to remember the family of R.C. Barton, Sister Peggy Raznick, Sister Allie Music, and their families. Were related. R.C. was their brother. So just remember these that are grieving the loss of a loved one in the midst of everything else that's going on. Remember Reeve and Connie in your prayer. Reeve's in the Calvert nursing home. He tested positive for corona. He's been recovering from hip surgery, so he's had a lot going on. Just lift him up and remember him in prayer, if you would, that God would just meet his every need and do what is needful, do what's pleasing unto him. We ask you to remember Sister Tanya Sawyers and just keep her in your prayer in a very special way as she battles cancer, going through the chemo, and just struggling with everything that she's dealing with. So just help to pray for her and just to pray that God would just help her, to strengthen her and encourage her as she deals with all this. Then remember Sister Joanne Gillies asked us to remember her son Billy and his family. Just lift him up in prayer. Remember Brother Jack and Sister Eileen Mullins. Brother Jack, he's been dealing with a multitude of health issues lately. His immune system is down. His blood count's down. So lift him up in prayer, if you would, and just pray that God would just be with him. Keep Brother Randy in your prayer. And Brother Brian, if you want to, just set the monitor right in front of the phone, if it helps. I don't know. But, all right. Keep Brother Randy Mullins in your prayer as well, all of his health issues. Paul Mullins, keep Brother Paul in your prayers. He's been dealing with a lot of back pain. Keep his son David Mullins in prayers. He's dealing with blood clots. Keep Sister Trish Deaver in your prayers. She's got a lot of things that's been going on. She's had several surgeries and the process of recovering from that and a lot of treatment she's been doing. So just lift her up in prayers. Keep Brother Stan and Sister Reba in your prayers. Brother Stanley's still in a lot of pain from the back, and he fell again and hurt his back. He broke his back a couple years ago and just fell and hurt it again here not too long ago. And with his age and everything that's going on, it just makes it hard to overcome. So just pray for Brother Stanley and Sister Reba both as they deal with these problems. Keep a friend of ours, Gilbert Perez from New York City, in your prayers. He's having severe kidney issues, and his function was down like 15% a while back, but we've been praying for him. Other folks are praying, and he's seen a little bit of improvement, so we just thank God for that, but continue to pray for him. Continue to pray for my grandson, Nick Jones. had his knee surgery on Thursday. He's recovering at home. He's doing good. Had a extensive knee surgery there. So just lift him up in prayer if you would. Sister Debbie Stanley's asked us to remember her family in prayer. And she just want to praise God for her friend Linda that took radiation treatment. And they have give her that cancer-free designation, the one that she was looking for. So we just praise God for that and continue to pray for her and continue to pray that God would keep his hand upon her. Keep Brother Joe Gonzalez in your prayer. Keep his family in prayer. His daughter Stacy is quarantined in Japan in a hotel there. Lift her up in prayer if you would, and keep Brother Joe and all his family in your prayers. Keep Gary and Lois Overbay in your prayers. They both have health issues going on and compromised immune systems. So just lift them up in prayers and just pray that God would keep them and help them. Keep Brother Jim's mom, Sister Sue Cadle, in prayers, a lady that's dear to all our hearts here. We all love her to death, and she's been through a lot here lately physically, and now she's in a nursing facility recovering, and just she's ready for a breakout, but that's where she needs to be for the time being, so let's pray for her. Keep Brother Harvey Walls in your prayers, and keep his friends in your prayers. He messaged us yesterday and just thanked us for keeping him and his friends in prayers at the Senior Center, and just continue to lift him up in prayers. Keep Sister Joan Patrick's daughter, Leslie, in your prayers, dealing with a lot of things right now, and she just needs a lot of prayer, so just lift her up in prayer. Keep April Rock in your prayer. Pray for her needs and her family's needs, she's asked us to remember. Let's keep our essential workers in prayers. We have medical professionals in our church, especially and throughout the nation, but especially here in our church, those that we know personally that are on the front lines. We just ask you to remember them in prayer. They're in hospitals and doctor's offices and nursing homes and different places. Lift them all up in prayers. Our first responders, keep them in your prayers. We've had some special unspoken requests. We ask you to lift them up in prayers and just meet the needs that God knows what they are. We don't have to. All we just need to pray and just trust God to meet the needs according to his will. So if you'll just pray for that, God can do what needs to be done. And then as things begin to change and the restrictions that are on us begin to ease up some, we ask that you remember one another in prayer. Remember things as they go forward in prayer that God's will could be accomplished in all that is done. And if you have a special prayer request, be sure to let me know or get a hold of Sister Debbie Stanley and let her know. I know sometimes I might be hard to get a hold of, but she said she would take requests and forward them on to me. If you would just get in touch with one of us and let us know what your needs are. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to meet the needs and to pray for these that have been spoken this morning. Our Father, again, as we come before your throne, we come, Lord, thankful and knowing that you hear and that you answer prayer, Lord, that you know every need and can meet every need according to your perfect will. We pray, Lord, this morning, God, that as we call upon you, Lord, our hearts and minds would be submitted, surrendered, and given wholly unto you, that your will might be done in everything and in every need. We're thankful, God, in knowing that we have one that we can call on that is able to meet the need in every life. We thank you, Father, for this privilege that's granted unto us to be able to meet here this morning. And we ask you, God, to be in our service, to be in our midst, to stir our hearts and lives as only you can do. We ask you to be with the songs that are sung, Lord, and the one that's going to come here in a moment, Father, to sing. We just ask you to be with her and just use her, God, to your glory this morning. We ask you, Father, for every sickness that's been mentioned, every illness, God, intervene in that need, Lord, to let your will be done. And Father, we ask you to touch according to your will, realizing and knowing, God, we know that you know what's best in each and every life and what every purpose is for every illness that comes our way. Lord, we ask you to meet the spiritual needs, Father. Be with those that are lost and undone. Those, Father, that have grown cold and indifferent, God, and just touch their hearts and speak to them, Father, the things that they stand in need of according to your perfect will. Let your name be praised. Let your name be exalted. Let everything that is done this morning be done according as you would have it to be done, that we might give honor and glory unto you, saying it's been good to be in God's house. It's been good to be with God's people today. It's been good to worship. The psalmist said he was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. And Father, we're glad to be here this morning. We were glad for the opportunity and the privilege to prepare to be here. Now, Father, stir our hearts as only you can do. We thank you, Lord, for what we know you will do. In Jesus' name we do pray. We say amen. Sister Haley, you come on and sing for us this morning as God has given you the song. We've asked Sister Haley to sing. If you would like to sing for one of the services, let me know. We'll get you scheduled in, and we got to kind of watch how we do things. We're kind of limited in how we can do things. It's hard to sing with the soundtrack, but we might even have that worked out now. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but you let me know if you would like to sing during a service. Aren't you glad he loves us? Amen. Loved us enough to die for us. Loved us enough to give everything he had for us. Loved us enough to go beyond our wildest dreams and our greatest expectations. He loved us enough that he would suffer on an old rugged cross, shedding every drop of his precious blood that we might have hope that goes beyond the grave, hope beyond the things of this world. Turn in your Bibles with us this morning, if you would, into John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. It is good to see the good turnout this morning, and we trust that we can keep having some great worship services. Even though the devil tries to hinder it sometimes, God just steps up and gives us the means to enjoy it and to have a better service and a greater time than we ever dreamed and ever thought or ever imagined that we could have. In John chapter 6, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. If you found it, read along with us. The Bible says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Now, after these things, there's a whole lot of things that has been going on. The main thing is this: Jesus has been healing, Jesus has been ministering, Jesus has been preaching, Jesus has been doing what Jesus does and what Jesus still does in our hearts and lives today, if we'll allow him. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracles that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Let's pray. Father, again we come before your throne, thanking you for this day, thanking you for each one that has come this way. Thanking you, Lord, that you know every need and every care. And Father, we pray this morning that as everyone this morning sits under the hearing of your word, Father, that they would submit themselves and surrender themselves wholly unto you, that your will might be accomplished in their lives. Help us now, Lord, each one of us to see what is needful for our lives. And, Father, apply it to our lives that we might be found where you'd have us to be. I pray, Lord, that you'd use me as a humble servant, Lord, this morning to give glory unto your precious name. In Jesus' name I do pray and say amen and amen. As we're looking at the account here, it's a very familiar account. Jesus feeding the 1,000, the 5,000. That was men alone, not counting the women and children. We see the feeding of the multitude and how Jesus performed this miracle, another among many, which he did. But the Bible says in verse number 6, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now, there are many today that will say that the Lord will never put more on you than you're able to bear, and that's not true. Amen? The Lord will put more on you than you can bear, but he'll never put more on you than he's able to bear. Amen? And we need to get that straight. We need to get that right. This world and the cares and the load of this world can break you. It can wear you down. It can destroy you if left unchecked. But thankful for the grace of God that intervenes on our behalf to keep in the world from destroying us, to keep in the things of this life from tearing us down. Sometimes God brings us through valleys that we might know that we can't find the way through the valley on our own, and we need his help, we need his strength, and we need his encouragement. And as we look at this account that's given to us here, this story, a very familiar story in the Bible, we want to see some things maybe that will help us to grow, to help us to come to the place where we can surrender all things unto him. The Bible tells us in verse number 7, that Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, first we see that there's a problem that is presented unto them. How many here this morning can attest to problems that have come your way in life, problems that have been presented unto you and that need to be dealt with? And the Lord wants to know how you're going to deal with them. The Lord wants to know what it is that you're going to do. Philip, his first response was just a response of doubting. Look at what he said. He said, everything that we have is not enough. He said, we can go buy 200 penny worth of bread. We can buy almost a year's a wages worth of bread, and that will not be enough to suffice these that are starving, to suffice these that are hungry, to suffice these that have a need. There's just not enough here to meet the need. You know, so many today are doubting what God is able to do. Now, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and the great multitudes followed him because they saw his miracles. Who was among that bunch that saw the miracles? His disciples. Philip was there, and now Philip is doubting what Jesus is able to do up to this point. If you go back and study, you can see Jesus has already done a lot of things in the presence of his disciples, and yet Philip is doubting what can accomplish them, and what can be happening, and what can be done here now. He's absolutely right when he makes this statement. There's not enough that we have that can do anything. What we have is insufficient. What we have is never going to be enough. But when we have Jesus, we have all that we need. Amen. I might not have all the money in the world, but if I have Jesus, I have all that I need. Amen. I might not have the greatest talents, but if I have Jesus, I have all that I need. I might not be the greatest singer, but if I have Jesus, I praise God and I sing about Jesus. It's the greatest thing I can do. It's the greatest thing that can happen. Every time we have in and of itself the things that we possess and the things that we know, they're never going to be enough. But Jesus, with just a little, makes a lot of everything. Sometimes we get focused on what we have and we miss on who he is. Amen. Sometimes we get focused on the circumstance around us, like Peter as he walks on the water. Here in a little bit, you can read in the scripture how, again, Jesus is with his disciples and he feeds the multitudes and leaves them, and the disciples go away, and Peter sees Jesus come walking unto him and asks Jesus if he can come to him, and Jesus says, come, and Peter gets out of the boat. Now, a lot of people criticize Peter for getting his eyes off of Jesus, but Peter had enough gumption to get out of the boat, amen. Most of us doubt the Lord so much that we won't even get out of the boat to trust him. The Lord says there's a problem, there's a situation here, there's something that you can do, there's a ministry that needs to be done, and we're afraid to get out of the boat. Many, when all this corona junk started, we're getting all bent out of shape about how we're going to worship. Praise God, we've got out of the boat, amen. We're keeping our eye focused on Jesus, and as long as we stay focused on him, he's going to allow us to see something happen, to see something transpire that we never dreamed could happen before. We're going to see him do a work in a mighty way that only he can do. Don't let doubt keep you from doing what seems impossible. Many times in ministry, people have a vision, and where there is no vision, the people perish. Do you get that? Where people have no vision, there will be no ministry. Where people have no vision, the Word of God won't get shared into the foreign lands. Where people have no vision, it's going to be impossible for anyone to hear about Jesus. The drunks won't get saved. The drug addicts won't get saved. The homeless won't get saved. Because people have no vision of what God is able to do. We just make excuses and why we don't want to do it, because we doubt the power of the Word of God. And the power of the Word of God is something that we need to not take for granted. And we do so many times. The promises of the Word of God are something we need not take for granted, but we do so many times. When Jesus said it, he wanted to see what Philip was going to say. He wanted to see what Philip and the disciples would do when he presented the situation before him. Jesus says the fields are white unto harvest. We say, well, that's over there. Well, you know, that's those people. Well, maybe somebody else can do it, but we're just not able to. Why are we like that? Because we doubt what God is able to do if we just allow him to do it through us and do it with us. Amen? You know, doubt can happen to just about anyone. We can all get that way at times. And we all tend to be that way at times. Sometimes it slips in. But we can't let doubt rule the day. We can't let doubt have control of our lives. If we begin to live in a life that is a life that's filled with nothing but doubt, we will never accomplish anything. You know, can't never could do nothing. I know that English and that grammar is incorrect. But I use that all the time. I used to tell guys at work, well, we can't do this. Or guys, don't tell me can't. Can't never do, could do nothing. We can't fix this. Don't tell me you can't fix it. A man made it. A man can fix it. A man designed it. A man can work on it. Don't tell me can't. Don't bring me problems. Bring me solutions. Jesus said, how are we going to feed these? We can't do that. We just don't have enough money. How are we going to minister to these? Well, we can't do that. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough resources. We don't have enough people. We don't have enough this. Don't worry about what we don't have. We start focusing on what we do have. We have Jesus, amen? We have his commission. We have his instruction to go into the world and to tell a lost and a dying world about Jesus. You know, if you was a doubter, you never got saved. How did you get saved? Because you had to put your doubts aside and trust Jesus, amen? How is it that you have stepped out and done the things? Some folks have stepped out and have sung. Some folks stepped out and they teach. Some folks step out and they do things that are way out of their comfort zones. They never dreamed that they could do. How did they do this? Because they quit doubting and they trusted Jesus to do what Jesus was going to do. You'll never get anybody to see their need of salvation and lead them to the Lord if you doubt that it's going to happen. Every time you talk to someone about the Lord, You need to do so with confidence that God can save that soul. It's not our job to save them. It's just our job to tell them about Jesus. Jesus does the rest of it. Amen. We do our part and He'll do His part. We let Him use us and work through us, and you'd be amazed at what He can do. But then look down here in verses 8 and 9. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Andrew sees that there's something there, but he's skeptical. Now, there's a difference between a doubter and a skeptic. Amen? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He doubts the existence of God. The agnostic, which means, the word agnostic literally means ignorant of. They're just not sure. They're searching. They're skeptical. You know, our churches are filled with all kinds of people. There are doubters in our churches. Every church has some that are doubters. No matter what you talk about doing, no matter how you talk about ministering, they got something negative to say. Some people call them negative nannies. Amen. Negative Nancys. They can be negative Neils, whatever you want to call them. They're just some folks that are just plumb doubters, and they're negative about everything. And then there's the skeptics. They're just not sure. Now, Andrew just come from the same place that Philip had just come from. They just come watching Jesus do all kinds of miracles. And yet they're skeptical about what's going to happen now. Maybe he just isn't able. Maybe he can raise some dead bodies. Maybe he can heal some broken bodies. But man, that's on an individual basis. That's on an individual thing. Maybe this is too big even for him. Let me tell you something, folks, this morning. There's nothing too big for Jesus. There's nothing that he can't do. And don't let skepticism keep you from doing what he wants you to do. He realizes something also, what they have is limited, but there is still a potential. There's still a possibility. It was a potential that he offered. It was a potential that he brought before the Lord. He didn't know how. He said, we have just a little bit here, but we don't know what it's going to be amongst so many. But if we take the little bit and we take the little bit of potential that he places within us and let him use it, you'll be amazed. Just like that song that says, a little is much when God is in it. Amen. If we'll give it to him, he'll take it and he'll run with it and he'll do something that you could never have imagined he was able to do. Have you forgot? In the Bible, he tells us about the widow that had the debtors coming after her, and all she had was a little bit of oil. All she had was a little bit of just a cruse of oil, just enough maybe for sufficing her family for maybe a day or so. But the prophet, the man of God, told her, he said, go out and gather up vessels and not a few. Amen. And they went throughout their neighbors and their friends and gathered all the vessels that they could have. She had some potential. But she had to get past skepticism and trust the Lord. Amen. They had to get past what they could see and what they could realize was in front of them and trust the Lord with the potential that He had provided. He's given us one potential. We need to take the potential and use it in this world to His glory, to take it and let Him multiply that we've given Him time and time and time again. Just imagine what God could do if every one of us would get past our skepticism, and irregardless of what it is, we all have skepticism in some area. Maybe it's an individual that man, they ain't never going to get them saved. That life is too messed up. Let me tell you something, there's no life so messed up that the Lord can't save it.
Amen. That there's no life that has gone so far that they can't be saved. The only reason they can't be redeemed is they won't surrender their life to Jesus. Maybe they're too skeptical, but don't let their skepticism make you a skeptic and keep you from doing what you need to do that God might use you. Maybe you can witness to them, they never get saved. But praise God, you know what can happen if you'll let God use the potential that He places in you. Somebody else might see the testimony of what you've done in that life. Amen. And somebody else may get saved. God's word does not return void unto Him. Amen. I used the potential. Do you remember the widow that was charged with feeding the prophet in Zarephath? And as Elijah went there, she just had a little bit of meal, and she was going to make the last meal for her and her son. They were going to eat it, and then they were going to die. The famine was in the land. They were going to starve to death. And the old man of God said, you just go fix me first, and don't worry about the rest of it. Just trust it to God. Can you imagine that? Now, she was having to get past her skepticism to trust the man of God, to trust the word of God, to do what God said He was going to do for her and her son. Amen. You know, a lot of times we can trust God when it's somebody else. But when it gets down to us and it gets down to ours, we trust everything but God. We can tell everybody in the world how they need to trust God. But when it comes down to our problem, all of a sudden we become the world's greatest skeptics, and we're not sure. Let me tell you what, this morning, my friends, my God has not changed. Amen. And though we might be skeptical in what God is able to do, He can still do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. Praise His name this morning. We're thankful for that. We can find all kinds of skeptics in the Bible. Look at Abraham, or Abram and Sarah. Look at them. Here they were. God promised to give them children. God promised to make a great nation through their seed. And they couldn't understand how. All they could see was their old, worn out, broken down bodies. And yet God had promised them that the seed of the Savior was going to come through them. That the seed that would be a blessing to all mankind would come through him and through Sarah. And they couldn't see it. Sarah was skeptical. Sarah questioned it. Sarah laughed at God when she heard Him say that it was going to happen. And yet God did exactly what He said He was going to do. They were some great skeptics, but they exhibited some great faith beyond their skepticism. God said, just believe it, and it's going to happen. Amen. God, He called Sarah out for laughing. Amen. He calls us out sometimes on our skepticism. Amen. Abraham said in chapter 15 of the book of Genesis, well, Lord, how are you going to bless me? How are you going to do this when all I have is my servant, this Eliezer, he's all I got. Is the seed going to come through him? God said, no, that's not how I said it was going to come. It's going to come just like I said. I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to make a promise to you that you can be assured of. And friend, let me tell you something. What God says He's going to do, He's going to do. How God said He's going to do it, He can do it. And if you'll just trust Him to do what He wants to do through you and to you and for you and with you, praise God, He'll do it this morning. You might look around you and you might be skeptical because what you see don't look like much. What you feel that you are might not be much. But God can take a little bit and He can make a whole lot out of it. God can take something that everybody else has discounted. If you read on down further in the chapter, down in 67 and 68, the Bible says that when he began to speak truth to them, to just rattle their bones and get them past the get them past the miracles that they've seen and get them focused on reality, they didn't want to believe it, and many went away. And Jesus looked at His disciples and He said, will you go away also? And Peter uttered those amazing words, those special words, those words of truth that still ring true today. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of life. And praise God, I want you to know something. God's word this morning is still the word of life. God's word this and is still bringing hope to lost and dying souls. If you're here this morning and you're skeptical of what the Lord can do, let me tell you, the Bible says He saves to the uttermost. If you're here this morning and you think you're so far in sin, you've gone too far, you're too old. I've had people tell me, well, I'm just too old. I've not done it so far. I'm just too old. It's just too late. Let me tell you what, I've seen a lot of old folks get saved in this church. Amen. I've seen a lot of old folks get turned around. God still saves old sinners. I'm thankful for that. Amen. But He saves the young sinners. He saves the new sinners. He saves sinners because it's not His will that any should perish. Don't be skeptical this morning. Trust Him for salvation. Trust Him for what He said He's going to do and what He wants to do. And praise God, I guarantee you, if you will trust Him, He will save your soul this morning. He'll bring you up out of the miry clay, up out of the horrible pit. He'll set your feet on the rock. He'll give you a new song. He'll give you a new clothes. He'll change you. He'll change the way you look. He'll change the way you feel. He'll change the way you smell. Amen. You might smell and reek from the things of this world, but He'll put a perfume on you that is from the Holy Ghost, a perfume on you that the world don't understand, the world can't comprehend, and the world won't receive, because it's not of the world. Amen. It's from Him. Don't be a skeptic this morning and allow skepticism to send you to a devil's hell. Trust Him this morning. He'll save you to the uttermost. And then in verse number 9, look back at it again. There's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? You know, we have no record of this lad saying anything whatsoever. All we know is that everything he had, he gave. I've been asking Carly to sing a song I shared with her. Here's my basket. I give it to And I tell you what, it's a beautiful song. I know she's going to just surprise me one day, and she's just going to sing it and bless my heart. But praise God, I'm looking forward to it. And you know, that's the way that we need to be. We need to be like that little boy I was. Need to be the one that speaks a whole lot. We don't need to be the one that everybody sees and everybody's looking to. We just need to be the one that's willing to say, here's what I have, and I'm giving it all to you. It's not much, but if you take it, you can do with it what you want. Your life, for instance. None of us are much. None of us have anything to brag of. I tell you all the time who I am. Brother Harvey said it ought to be the epitaph on my tombstone, and if I have anything to do with it, it probably will. I'll probably put it on there. I'm just a no-good, dirty, filthy, stinking, low-down, rotten sinner that deserves to be in hell with my back broke, but I've been saved by the grace of God. That's all that I can brag on, is the grace of God has made a change in my life. The grace of God met the needs that I have. This little boy is not recorded in here saying anything, but he had 5 little loaves and 2 little fishes. I want you to understand, we're not talking about some big old rock fish or some big old tuna fish that you catch out on the deep. About 5 little pieces of bread, maybe the size of a Twinkie would have probably been a good size, and maybe 2 large sardines. This was his dinner. We call it lunch today, but it was dinner. We call it lunch up here, but down south they call it dinner. Hey, man, all my family down in West Virginia, lunch is dinner. Supper is what we eat in the evening. That's what the Bible called it. Amen. Jesus, He dined with them. He ate dinner with them. That was lunch. He supped with them. He had supper with them. That was supper. We got it all mixed up, and we got it all turned around. But praise God, I want you to know something. This was this little boy's lunch, most likely. That's what he had, and he was fortunate to have it. And he looked around, and all these people were hungry, and all he had is these 5 little loaves and 2 little fishes. And he looked around and knew that what he had wasn't much, but he was willing to give it anyway. What he had, he knew couldn't suffice in and of itself, but he gave it anyway. He gave everything that he had. You know, if we'll give everything that we have to Jesus, we can find that Jesus can take everything that we have and make it more than we ever dreamed it could be. Amen. I don't know how long he'd been following Jesus. I don't know if he had seen Jesus do any miracles. I don't know if he'd seen Jesus heal any bodies or raise any dead bodies, but I know this, he trusted Jesus enough that he was willing to give all that he had. He was willing to give these 5 little loaves loaves and two little fishes for whatever the Lord might do with them and whatever the Lord wanted to do with them. And the Bible tells us when we're willing to give everything to Him, He takes everything that we give Him and uses it to great needs. You remember the widow that was casting in her mites? They were taking the offering up and everybody was casting their offering in, and she had two mites. Wasn't even a day's pay. Wasn't even a day's wages. That they worked for a penny a day. Two mites was just a fraction, a small fraction of what a day's pay was. And she threw two mites into the offering. And Jesus said she gave more than they all. How was that possible? All the rich men were pouring in all their big amounts of money and their talents and pennies and their big amounts of money into the offering. Here she's throwing in two little old mites, and the Lord says she gave more than they all. She gave everything that she had. This little boy came that day, and he gave everything that he had. He didn't hold anything back. You remember over in Acts chapter 5, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They seen Barnabas, this man of God that loved the Lord, go and sell property. And he came and he gave the money to the disciples. He was wealthy. He was prosperous. He was blessed. He knew how blessed he was. And he came and he gave a sizable offering unto the disciples. And Ananias and Sapphira seen that. And they seen how everybody reacted when they gave that offering. So they went and sold a piece of property. And they kept part of the money back. And they went and they laid the... Ananias came in first. And he lays the money. Peter's feet said, "Hey, man, we sold some property. Here's the money." And the Spirit of God spoke to Peter and through Peter and said, "Why do you want to lie to the Holy Spirit? Why do you want to lie to God? Amen. You said you gave it all, but you didn't." You know, and that's the way sometimes we are. We make the pretense that we're giving it all, but we're holding something back. Amen. We make the pretense. We want to tell the Lord we're giving it all, but in the back of our heart, in the back of our mind, we're holding something back. Amen. You know why you don't see the blessings of God in your life? Some people, "Well, I just don't feel blessed anymore. I just don't know." You're not giving it all to the Lord. You're holding something back. You're giving just enough to make you feel good. Amen. And you're giving just enough to lie to the Lord. Amen. But you're not giving it everything. We need to give the Lord everything. The Lord says He'll be near the one that does everything with his whole heart. Jesus said we need to worship the Lord. We need to serve the Lord. We need to honor the Lord with all our body, all our might, all our soul, our whole being. We need to give it all to Him. You're missing out on blessings. You're missing out on seeing God do things in your life when you try to hold back and you don't want to give Him everything. When you give all to Him, praise God, blesses you in ways that you can't even begin to imagine. Ways you can't even begin to understand. We need to give it all to Jesus. We need to surrender it all to Jesus, that His will might be done, that His name might be exalted, that He might be glorified. You know when we get saved? When we give it all to Him. You know how He uses us effectively in ministry? When we give it all to Him. You know how a church gets blessed? When the church gives everything, gives it all to Him. You know, a lot of churches are just organizations that are built up on pleasing people. Our goal is to please the Lord. We believe the house of God. I believe the meeting house ought to be a nice place. It ought to reflect who it is that we are worshiping, who it is that we serve. But we need to allow Him to have His will, have His way. You know, sometimes we deal with problems and we go through issues, but we're not giving Him everything. When we allow Him to have His way, we do what we can't even begin to imagine. Five little loaves, five Twinkies, sardines, fed a multitude. It's estimated there was probably somewhere between 10 to 12,000 people, maybe, that had been fed. With five little Twinkies and two little sardines. Think about that for a minute. Not only were they fed, they were filled. They got all that they wanted. Not only were they fed and filled and had all that they wanted, the Bible says they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. The Lord can abundantly bless you. The Lord will abundantly use you. And the Lord will abundantly work through you if you're willing to give Him everything that you have. Holding nothing back. Surrendering it all. Like that song says, I surrender all. Have you just given it all to Him? Are you giving it all that you've got? If you want to get saved this morning, Lord, friend, if you don't die and go to a place called hell, if you want to know that you know that you know when you die, when you are laid in the grave, that it's not the end, give it all to Him this morning. Trust Jesus this morning. Surrender your life to Him. If you're here this morning and you just don't feel blessed in your life, maybe you need to try something new. Maybe you need to try surrendering everything to Him. And let Him have His way. Give it all to Him. And let Him use you. Let Him minister through you. Let Him do the things that only He can do. Because you've submitted yourself unto Him. God still does miracles. I believe that wholeheartedly. He still does things in our lives that we can't imagine. You say, well, preacher, why isn't He doing a miracle in my life? Maybe He is, you're just missing the miracle. Maybe He is, you're just losing sight of what it is. Maybe He is. And you just need to trust Him and believe Him for it. He still heals bodies. But maybe instead of healing, He's just pouring out an abundance of grace upon you. He still brings peace. But maybe you're still in a storm. I like the saying that sometimes he calms the storm and brings peace. But sometimes He lets the storm rage and brings peace to our lives. Maybe He is doing something. Sometimes we are looking for hope, and we find no hope. But we're missing the fact that hope has been presented to us. Hope is in front of us. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, we don't have to have much. But what we do have, we need to trust to Him. We need to give to Him. And give it all to Him. That He might move in our hearts and lives. He might be a blessing to us. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, give it all to Him. You're here this morning and God's been wanting to use you. Give it all to Him. Let Him do it. You're here this morning and you just don't have peace in your life. And you're just always angry and always anxious and pent up and skeptical and doubting about everything. Let go of it all and just give it all to Him and look at what He's able to do. Heads bowed in your cars, eyes closed, everywhere. I wonder this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer, maybe God has spoke to your heart this morning.
Maybe this word has ministered to you this morning what you stand in need of. And maybe you just need to step out of your car and say, Pastor, God spoke to me this morning. God has ministered to me this morning. And I want you to pray for me. Would you just step out where you're at and let me see you? Nobody's looking. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. I believe God's people are honoring that this morning. Pastor, I want to see God do something in my life. Maybe here this morning and say, Pastor, I've been trying to serve the Lord, but I realized this morning I just haven't given it all to Him. And this morning I realize until I do, I'll never see God do great things in my life. I'll never see God do great things through my life. And Pastor, this morning I just need you to pray for me. Brother Jim, you got a song of invitation?
Page number 200, Only Trust Him. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the life, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Come then and join the ransom band and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land where joys immortal flow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Amen.